I had Father Bracken read all those verses, so I wouldn't have to. But I've really just been the past, I don't know, several weeks, just been hanging out in John 15, because I thought, Lord, this is really important, and I don't want to miss it. And it seems, I mean, I've heard these verses my whole life, but they're just hitting different than they used to. And so I found myself really crying out to the Lord, Lord, I want my joy. You say this, that my joy is in you and that your joy may be made full or complete in me. So I found myself really crying out to the Lord, Lord, I want your fullness of joy. What does that look like? I don't want to just feel it. I want to experience it. I want it to be everything in my life. And so I've been, you know, you cry out to the Lord for these things, and then He is so amazing and so sweet, but He shows you all the places that you're not getting it, but not in a bad way, but in a way that you're going, okay, this area is not good. I'm not experiencing joy here. You know, so what's going on? So I found myself in these places. Like the other day, we were eating, the kids were eating breakfast, and one kid starts fussing with another kid, and then they all start fussing. Nobody has anything good to say about anything. And I found myself joining in. So I'm matching frustration with frustration and unkind words with unkind words. And the Lord said, Roxanne, abide in me so that my joy may be made complete in you. And you know what? So I just had to take a step back. And the kids don't get it, but, you know, I'm saying it anyway. And I'm like, boys, we got to repent. Because what's coming out of our mouth is not Jesus. And the enemy comes to steal, kill, destroy, and I would say confuse and turn things upside down. And he doesn't play fair. He uses every moment he can to come in and to rob us of what he has. So they're all looking at me like I have three heads, but I'm like, no, I'm serious. I understand it's hard for me to get, but let's just start talking using this kind of language. We are not participating in anything Jesus has for us. Instead, what we're doing is coming into agreement with the enemy, and we're not having fun. I said, is anybody having fun here? Nobody's having fun. I mean, Jordan was crying. James was puffed up, upset. Dennis was frustrated. Nobody was having fun. And they went, no, Mom, we're not having fun. And so the Lord's just really just been stopping me and going, anytime you're not abiding, and the word abide means to rest, to sink into, to remain or stay, then we're not experiencing all that He has for us in that moment. And I've talked to several different people this week, and so just say, hey, how are you doing? And one response was, well, I'm hanging in there. Another person said, well, put one foot in front of the other. Another person said, life is really hard, but Jesus, I'm going to press in until it gets better. And those are all, I've said those things too, but they're not godly responses. They're the flesh speaking of what's going on. And so in just reading and just looking this morning, I was just stuck on Ephesians 4:1, where it says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. And I thought, Lord, and I just read it over and over, walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. I thought, Lord, that's my heart desire. I want to walk every day in a manner worthy of that which you have called me. But it seems so impossible to do. It seems so hard. And I just clearly heard the Lord say, yeah, it really does. That's what the enemy does to us. He doesn't play fair. He makes everything seem impossible, but it's really easy. He said, where have you been staying? And I thought, well, John 15. So I just started reading it over and over again. And just the word abide means to stay. And so how do I walk? Walk is action, right? So to walk in a manner, I got to move. I have to do something. But when you hear the word abide, it makes you think, don't move at all, right? But what the Lord is saying, what He was saying to me is we have life to do. We have to put one foot in front of the other. We have meetings to go to. We have jobs to do. We have kids to attend to. We have all these things we have to do. We have to move, but we have to move and remain in Him at the same time. It's this constant movement of abiding is not just to stay, but it's to stay as life is in motion and stay in one. Because it says in John 15:5, apart from me, you can do nothing. And the Lord just stopped me, and He says, stop striving. Stop trying to do anything apart from me. Because in Philippians 4:13, we love this verse. We say it all the time. I can do all things through him, abiding in him, resting in him, sinking into all that he has, right? I can do nothing without him, but I can do all things through him. And the Lord said, it's really simple. It's just childlike faith. He said, hear it in ears as if you're talking to your four-year-old. How would you say this to Jordan? And I would say, man, press into it. Just listen. Stop, quicken your heart to what Jesus is saying, do, right? If Jesus does it, do it. If he speaks it, speak it. And the Lord said, Roxanne, it's really that simple. The enemy is the one who comes and makes it seem overcomplicated or makes it seem to me like Donna can get it, but I'll never be as good as Donna. It's not a comparing thing. It says this in John 15, the branch can only produce fruit when it's connected to the vine. So when we're not connected in that moment where everybody was frustrated and I was matching frustration with frustration, none of us were connected to the vine. There was no fruit coming out of that. And so the enemy comes in to poison. We have to be on guard and not let him come in and poison what the Lord's doing. We have to abide in him because we can only produce fruit, not out of our own effort. I can't produce kindness for someone else out of my own effort. It's only in abiding in him. The other thing the Lord was just reminding me of, I used to tell the youth all the time that your emotions are like quicksand, and they'll drag you down, pop you up, drag you down, pop you up. And the Lord reminded me of this, and I think Bishop said this. I had it written in my Bible a while back. Your emotions are a reflection of what your heart and what your mind is set on. So I can't trust my emotions if my emotions and my heart and mind aren't set on making a choice of movement and abiding at the same time. Then I can't trust how I feel. I can't trust the anger. I can't trust the frustration because it's not from Jesus. I'm not plugged in. I'm not abiding. So when we abide, we have to walk. We have to move. We have to, I say, make a choice, but it's not a choice. It's simply resting in. Becoming resting in to the overcomer, right? Jesus is kind, he's forgiving, he's never frustrated, he doesn't criticize, he doesn't complain, and therefore I can't use any excuse that I can too. When those things are coming out of my mouth, I'm going, Lord, quicken my heart because I'm not abiding in you. This branch is not producing good fruit. My joy is not complete, it's actually yuck that's inside, right? Because the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit on the branch, right? Love, joy, peace, patience. And so if our life, not just our life, if our everyday conversation and everyday movement and attitude isn't the fruit of the Spirit, then that's just a very easy, quick check of we're not abiding. So we take a step back and go, man, what am I abiding in? What is my heart set on? What is my mind set on? And then it's just a quick, easy fix, right? No. My mind, my heart is set on Jesus. And Jesus doesn't get frustrated. Oh, yeah, we don't get frustrated with that. Oh, yeah, Carol did something. And no, Jesus, only kindness comes out of his mouth. He doesn't complain. Oh, yeah, we don't complain about that. And it just becomes this conversation, right? And so then our responses don't become, I'm doing okay, one foot in front of the other. Well, I'm hanging in there. It's really tough, but I'm hanging in there. Our responses, what comes out of our heart is, man, Jesus is good, right? Life is great. The circumstances may not look like it. We've walked through months, and actually, if you put it all together, years of really tough circumstances around here. I was talking to someone last night about all the times in the past 5 years that they've kept my children because of people super close to me who've passed away. I mean, it's just remarkable all the things we've walked through. So that would be every excuse in the book to not act, you know, you can't use those excuses. You can't use, well, life is going to get better. No, life is good right now because Jesus is great in the moment. And in Galatians 2:20, it says this, the life that I now live in the flesh, because we all live every day in the flesh, I now live. And I just, it says in Christ, but I added this in here because I've been saying this over and over and over. Every day I've been saying it to my boys. They don't know what I'm saying, but it's getting in them somehow. The life that I now live in the flesh, I now live in union with the overcomer, abiding in his victory and remaining there so that his fruit is produced and my joy is complete. Just, it's the same thing he's saying, but I'm just was adding the language that we have, reminding myself that I am walking. You can't just say I'm going to live this Christian life by sitting here forever, by sitting in Eucharist all day, every day. It would be really easy, right? We all have things to do, but no, but we can live in the ease and in the moment where Jesus's joy is made complete in us, and everything we do is from that place. I live in union with the overcomer who's already got the victory. I simply rest into that, right? I'm still moving. I'm still having conversations, but I'm doing it from a place of he's already fought the battle. He's already won the battle. The victory's already there. I simply have to come into union with the overcomer, remaining in that place and not letting the enemy get my eyes off of where I'm looking. Because he knows if he can take my eyes and put them somewhere else, my emotions overcome truth, right? So I have to keep my eyes set on truth so that his fruit can be produced. And so I just started looking through just what Paul said about his fruit. And how do we know? How do we know that we're in that place? Well, Ephesians, I'm just going to do it real quick. 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as Christ has also forgiven you. Up above that, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling of which you've been called. In Philippians, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit. It says, do all things without grumbling or complaining. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Offer prayer with joy in everything that you do. So how do we know? Those things become evident in our life. We no longer walk with criticalness or bitterness or unforgiveness or getting real angry and having to go back and apologize. Do those things happen? Yeah, we're fallen people, right? But they become less and less because when I do act like that, it so bothers me and it so makes me go, I just crave to be in union with the overcomer. So I'm going to set my mind and set my eyes on him so I no longer give myself an excuse to act like that and go apologize later. Amen. Hope that makes sense. Amen.